So, welcome to the next edition of the Rare Business Podcast. With me today, I have Bianne Salens. Hi, Bianne.
Hi.
So, Bianne, can you tell us a little bit about you and the work that you do?
So, starting off at the very early days, I'm a journalist, actually, by background. I started working as a journalist for India's first online venture, which was a startup, a tech startup set up by Rediffusion, Dentsu Young, and Rubicon. Uh-huh. And what that tech startup allowed me to do was really bring together my writing skills, but connect with people. Uh-huh. I mean, we were actually covered by Wired magazine sort of way back in the days.
Wow.
Because we were disrupting, you know, India's sort of technology scene. And I guess what that then led me on to do when I came to England was really pursue that love for technology. So I then went into sort of web production. And when I joined BT many years ago, they had set up BT Open World, and they were looking for editors and producers who also had technology, because they were streaming video at the time. They were creating the walled gardens, you know, that AOL was famous for. And then I slowly sort of moved into social when social technology came around, and it just took my natural love for storytelling and connecting with people and brought it to life. So that's my background. And what I do is really sort of work as an internal evangelist, if you like. As you know, my roles are generally head of social roles, but it's more about driving understanding around the business and getting business functions to understand how social can work within their business function and context, and then helping them create processes and organizational sort of behaviors and structures to enable and empower them to succeed in that space.
Fantastic. Now, one of the prime areas of, if you like, exploration and interest that I have and that I explore on the blog is all to do with customer service and a business's ability to deliver great service, and that's in the last few years has extended into sort of social media platforms, and all of that wrapped up is, you know, it's been kind of talked about that being able to deliver great service is becoming a bit of a leading competitive advantage, particularly in a social context. Would you agree with that? And if so, why do you think, you know, what's driving that? Is it business, or is it technology, or is it customers, or what's the big deal?
I think I absolutely believe in it, because I've run two very different strategies in the last few years, and one of my most successful sort of pieces of work has been where the strategy has been rooted in service.
Yeah.
And I think the reason that it is become such a popular part of the multi-channel service offering is because for a long time, consumers have just simply wanted to be sold what they thought they were being sold.
Yeah.
And to get the product to work. And when it doesn't work, to have it fixed easily so they can get on with enjoying what they paid for.
Simple stuff, right?
Yes, and I think that, you know, because businesses have not invested in getting the product design or maybe the proposition design sort of correct from the start, it's led to service avalanche. And when you have a lot of queries and a lot of calls coming in, then you start to try to create multi-channels that will implement that. And what social has done is, A, it's created immediacy. B, it's created transparency.
Uh-huh.
It's then reduced the amount of effort for the customer to actually get in touch with the company, which is a huge thing if you think about IVR and the amount of options you have to go through.
Yes.
Now, from a company perspective, especially in the early days, because of companies feeling quite fearful of the impact of negativity on the web around their brand, they began to sort of almost create strategies to prioritize and resolve queries coming in through channels on social quicker, almost treating them as an escalation than they did with their other channels. So the moment the company did that, the customer's behavior was almost being trained to go and use social more to contact the company. So, but you know, I do think that for both parties, it has been good because the companies themselves have then seen the impact of giving good service leading to positive sentiment leading to advocacy leading to less churn and greater return. And for business in general, I think it's been good. And that's why I think it's on the rise.
Fantastic. Now, at the heart of that, you talked about your role as being a, if you like, a social business evangelist.
Yeah.
And you worked for a couple of big players, helping them become more social and turn them into social businesses. Now, before diving into that, I mean, can you help me understand, rather, what does it mean to be a social business? Because it's quite a big thing and gets banded around by lots of people. I mean, what do you, given that you've been in it and at the coalface, as it were, helping companies become this, what does this mean to you?
So first of all, what it doesn't mean to me is a company that's just using social media.
Right.
Because as you rightly say, it is a much bigger thing, you know, than people think it is. And I think that's the second point is also that when you say social business, I mean, just speaking as a person who tries to influence senior execs to buy into this concept, the term social business is quite a daunting one.
Yes.
Because it almost implies that it is something separate from the business that currently is. And yes, it is about actually change transformation. There's a lot of transformation that does need to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But the moment, because you're presenting it as a completely new concept, it can be quite daunting to people who don't have the time.
Yes.
to understand what it is. But for me, it really is how a business adapts and thrives to a changing consumer environment. And by that I mean is that social technology has enabled the consumer to really say what they think about companies.
Right.
And want to do business with companies in a different way than they have been used to. And so companies really just need to adapt and change the way they do that business to create conversation and collaboration between themselves and consumers, between themselves and partners, and between employees.
Yes.
Because effectively, even your employees are consumers. So everybody has been exposed to this changing environment and changing culture. So, you know, it really is about how a company adapts and changes and then goes on to thrive in a fast-changing, connected economy. And that's my view of what it is.
Fantastic. Now, within that, you talk about how businesses converse with consumers and partners and also with their employees and with each other. I mean, in your experience, is there an order that these things kind of happen? Is it like the talk with consumers first and then with partners and then with employees? Or does it start with employees and then with partners and then consumers? Or is there an optimal order or not?
To be honest, because we're learning as we go along, you know, so we're having to adapt to this changing environment, to these changing behaviors as it is happening. So it's very difficult to say what order would be the right one. However, because once you start to collaborate with, you cannot collaborate with your consumers without actually being able to have the structure and tools to collaborate internally to
right.
then take. So for example, you know, you could have an ideas bank.
Mm-hmm.
And allow your customers to submit their ideas. But if you don't have an operational infrastructure and an agility that then has the ability to take those ideas and make them real internally, then you're not going to be able to do anything with those ideas, which will leave your customer frustrated, which will break down the trust and be, you know, be contradictory to the aspiration of being a social business. So my recommendation is always first to get the process and the people internally structured in a way that then will allow you to collaborate with your consumers and your partners.
That makes
you have to have your house in order first, in my
There you go. That makes complete sense. I mean, and if I think about it from a more traditional perspective, it's a bit like surveying your customers. Now, whilst most businesses would talk about surveying your customers as being a great idea, the thing that I think many businesses fail on, both I guess both internally and externally, is that they send out a survey, but then they don't follow up with the survey, and they don't tell people what they're going to do about things, and then don't tell people kind of what ideas that they're going to implement and what they're not going to implement, and don't tell them how they've what's happened, etc., etc. So then the likelihood of people responding to future surveys just falls off a cliff.
Absolutely. And I think it's because companies generally don't see their relationship with consumers as a true relationship, if that makes sense. They sometimes, especially in big businesses, because when you're dealing with millions of consumers on a huge customer base, it's very easy to start to think of your customer as a number.
Yes.
And it's just a trap that businesses fall into, because the moment you do that, you start to lose the essence of actually pleasing people and working with people and catering to people's needs,
Yes.
and communicating with people. And actually, in my previous role, and actually even in this role, I have seen opportunities where we have been able to take that insight and feedback we're getting from consumers, but then use social and use our CRM channels, because communication is through multi-channels,
Yeah.
and tell people what we're doing. And that's how you keep your customers, because they see that you care about what they're saying. And even if you can't do something that they're asking you to do, if you can supply and be honest enough to provide a rationale as to why you can't do it, consumers are quite open to that kind of economy.
I think that's right, and I think it reminds me of a, if you like, a concept that I talk about with when I'm talking to firms, and it's this whole idea of there's sort of a number of there's two principles. Well, one principle, and then there's an application. And the principle is that there's an idea that says nature abhors a vacuum. I don't know if you've come across that before, but if you apply that to human beings, and the way that our mind works is that in the absence of other in the absence of information, we just make stuff up.
Absolutely.
And that it just brings out our own sort of anxieties and fears and concerns and things. And so when you ask for somebody's opinion, but then actually don't get back to them about what's happened or as a result of that opinion, then all sorts of things kind of like go through our minds around, well, you don't care, or did you get it, or it offended you, or it's not right, or you can't fix it, or whatever it might be. It's the same thing that goes the relation, and I think you're absolutely right. I think the relationship between customer and business has changed fundamentally, and it's become a much more human thing. And I think businesses are still trying to catch up with that.
I think it's going to take a while, but the sad thing is that businesses don't have that luxury of time,
Yes.
because I mean, if you think about the generations, Gen Y and the generation after, that's going to be the way the world and that they operate in, and that's the way they want to operate. So this is why, I'm so passionate about it, because I do believe that the businesses that at least try to understand what a social business is or where they need to be, and try to put the processes and understanding and the right organizational structure in place, now they have a better chance of actually surviving. I mean, we've seen a lot of businesses go out of business in the last few years. And it just shows how consumers, are changing, and we have to adapt, otherwise we are at risk.
Yeah, indeed. So, in your experience, I mean, what are the main challenges that businesses face in becoming more social, and what have you found that works to help with that transition?
So a lot. I think there are lots of challenges, but lots of opportunities as well. I think the first challenge I faced is just the word social.
Right.
I mean, I even as an employee, My background's in journalism. I've worked in, technology. I've done production. I've managed websites and CRM programs. But the moment I adopted the word social into my title and job description, it almost immediately seemed to alienate me from peers and from execs because they couldn't quite find a place for somebody who had that word
yes.
in their vocabulary and in their job description. And I do think that we need to start finding a better way to communicate that this is really just a change in consumer behavior, and businesses just need to adapt to consumer behavior,
yes.
Rather than, us as sometimes single people trying to evangelize the power of social,
yeah.
or just the fact that really technology has changed consumer behavior. So the word social is one of the big challenges. The second thing is really that just people understanding how it fits into their business as usual.
Right.
The reason why, say, if you take the context of marketing, social is always a dot in the ocean of budgets, for example.
Yeah, well, yes.
If you take the context of customer service, finding resource for social is a big challenge.
Right.
Okay. Do you take them off the phones? Do you take them from the web? Is this the right skill? That's a huge challenge for them. If you take the context of financial directors. And SEs, basically, their question is, why should I put my money? Why should I give you money to do what you need to do? Because if social is not free, I'm asking for marketing technology. I'm asking for response and engagement technology. I'm asking for people resource. I'm asking for agency expertise sometimes to create the best content campaigns.
Yeah.
So if you're not making small asks on the business. So I think, what I've had to do is stop trying to do a single social strategy because nobody understands it, but start to work, find ways that social can fit into each business context.
Right. Okay.
So I've done a service strategy with my service operations director. I've done a digital PR strategy, which will work with PR. So rather than create a single strategy, try to adapt it with it. And then the other challenge is always organization and the structure of organization and process that sits behind it.
Yes.
And that is a huge, huge thing for businesses because normally people structure their organization and process around business functions. And why this has become a challenge for businesses is because effectively in order to be a successful business that uses social technology to adapt to consumer behavior is simply that you have to work in a collaborative economy internally.
Yes.
And you have to start to think across silos. So, service and product need to work really closely because if the consumer is giving very strong sort of feedback on your product design, the product team need to be completely open to taking that and working, finding the resources and time to improve that process. And then again, marketing and service again need to work together. And I think that is the biggest challenge because big organizations struggle because they're so used to working in silos. And that really is a culture change. And this is where people at my level struggle because a culture change really needs people from the top to back it. And when you have middle managers trying to drive culture change, it's painful for the person trying to drive it. It's painful for the people on the receiving end. And actually, sometimes it doesn't go anywhere.
I think that's fair. But I think the reality is, and I think this is again, it comes to the point about the realization of, the environment changing. Whereas you talk about multi-channel customer experience and. And a customer, in a way, if you think about the mind of a customer, they might be talking to you on web chat, speaking to you on the phone, send you an email, tweeting you, commenting on a Facebook post, or whatever. I guess from their perspective, they see all these kind of channels, but all they're really thinking about is going, actually, I'm having one conversation with you across a number of different channels.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if I call you up or I send you an email and you don't know, you don't have a view of those that broad conversation, then they're going, so where are you?
Yeah, I mean, I just think that having that view of the customer, but then also everybody accessing the same view of the customer,
Yes.
is where it becomes interesting. And if you think about it, marketing always operate on marketing insight and create strategies from marketing insight.
Yep.
And the customer service operations or customer engagement will look at their customer record and service the customer based on the customer record. But actually, that flow of information needs to happen across all those different silos in order for a company to have a view of its customer and be able to give them the best experience across the piece, you know. And I think companies are slowly trying to find their way there,
Yes.
but it's not happening quick enough for consumers.
I think so, and I think it's also, like you pointed out before, it's about you need to get but it requires cultural change, like it requires organizational transformation, but that ultimately requires buy-in from the very, very, very top, and to say that and commitment, which says we're going to, this is not just a bolt-on, this is a fundamental sort of change in how we are going to operate our business going forward. So maybe actually social business should actually be future business or future business operations.
I mean, I do think that, I mean, you know, it also throws up a question of leadership, you know,
Yes.
because the thing is, in order to really make that backing and start to believe in some of these principles, you'd almost need a different kind of leader that's driven by that's customer connected and driven by the customer.
Yes.
And to be honest, you know, there are very few of those around.
Well, yes, it's, I mean, it's almost like we are, there's a generational sort of, well, there's a change going on in the customer place, but it's almost like it requires a generational sort of change or leadership change in the captains of industry to be able to get this and grapple with it and create organizations that can truly respond to that changing environment.
Yeah, it's IQ and EQ, you know.
Ah, yes. It's a great point. So, just thinking about the sort of questions. I mean, so they're really big sort of challenges. I mean, if I was to say to you, if there was a listener or a reader of this interview, and they were saying, right, I know I'd need to, or we are approaching that junction, and we need to think of that, and I need to address the question, how can we make our business more social and more responsive to the changing environment? Where would you say, where's the first place you would say to them, start here?
The first place I'd say is really insight, you know,
Okay.
because the thing is, people can say no to people, but
Yes.
people can't say no to facts and to
Ah,
data.
yes.
And the best way to influence is to start by creating a gathering the data that will back your argument,
Yes.
and that data could be what your consumers are saying about you, or it could be, you know, evidence that they're going to other customers, because it's so transparent, you can see when people are saying they want to churn or they want to, you know, they want to consider another supplier, for
Yes.
example.
Yes.
And sometimes it's data on what your competitors are doing that sometimes shifts their needle. So that would be my first place, you know, that I point them to, because you do need to take the evidence in order to start the conversation.
Fantastic. Is it now, Bianca, is there, I mean, before we start to sort of wrap up, is there anything else that on this sort of area, this subject, and based on your experience, that you think that you'd like to add, top tips for our readers and listeners?
I think top tips, you know, especially if there are people who are like me, you may not be in a head of social role, but you may be in a marketing function and a service function, then you're seeing the change and you're feeling quite frustrated that your company is not sort of taking note of the change.
Yes.
I think, you know, the first thing I'll say is that it is actually more difficult to try and drive that change as a head of social. It is better to try and drive change by finding colleagues who may be also feeling that pain or
Right.
feeling that need to change, and then really creating a groundswell, you know. So, you know, especially when you're working in a large corporate, it's important to try and find allies within the business, because when several silos start to hear it from people within their own silos,
Yes.
you know, the change happens in a very slow way. And one of my strategies has always been, you shift that thinking at every level. So you try changing the exact thinking, but then you also create education and understanding in every rank, so that then really they're not just hearing it from you, they're hearing it from their own people, and slowly they, you know, you start to see, you know, the understanding change, and then when the understanding change, the need to invest in it, and once you invest in it, making sure you're very clear about what you're measuring, showing the evidence, and then really seeing that then continue down that path. So that would be one of the big tips I give people.
Fantastic. I mean, it sounds like you are actually saying that, yes, go out and evangelize and recruit disciples to help you along your way.
Yes, absolutely.
Fantastic. So, Bianne, I always finish these interviews with one final question, and that is there anything that you would like to shamelessly plug?
Well, my LinkedIn profile.
Brilliant.
I'm going to also plug, because, you know, since we talked about customer service in particular, I'm going to really plug Martin Hill Wilson and Carolyn Blunt's book, because I'm quoted in it, but I do think that the book is Delivering Effective Social Customer Service.
Which I've already interviewed them on that book for this series.
So please refer back to Adrian's interview, and please go and buy the book, because it's got a lot of thoughts from a lot of us in the industry, and I think it's a great book.
Fantastic. Bianne, thank you so much for your time and sharing your insight today. That's been brilliant.
Thank you for having me.